The first five verses, we're going to get our, we're going to call the series here from the book of Titus. It's not going to be real long. There's only two chapters. So, you know, I can do that in, what, 12 messages? I don't know. But, no, we'll move along here. It won't be a long series, but I do have some obligations of preaching, and we are going on vacation next week. We're in the GIBF the next week. So next week is our PGT that we do every year. Yeah, looking forward to it. I really am. And then I'm going to be preaching a revival down in Houston where Brother Richard King is, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him and hoping that I'll be able to be an encouragement to him and Jan. I'm preaching a mission conference out in Salt Lake City, Utah. I've never been there before, but there I'll be with all the guys. There's going to be 15 of us that goes to the men's recharge. So I'm just telling y'all right now, I'm not writing no new messages. I just got to figure out what I'm supposed to preach while I'm there. And then, help me out. I've got a revival in Knob Noster, Missouri in November. So anyhow, in between there, I'll be preaching on Wednesday nights, and we'll be looking at the book of Titus. And I think I preached in Titus maybe about 2005 or 6. So it's been quite a while since I have looked at this book. Many people call it the mini version of Timothy. All right, so we have a longer 1 and 2 Timothy where Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. This book would be called a pastoral epistle. But there's a lot more than just to a pastor. But there are things to a pastor that is found, of course, in Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. And so 2 Timothy, of course, was Paul's last book. But Titus was one of those, remember, sons of the faith of Paul. And so I'm going to just kind of open this book up tonight. And I'm just going to look at basically three things that this church, the island of Crete needed. It's the same three things that Berean Baptist Church needs, and would also be the same things that every church needs across the world, because here was Titus in this place called Crete. And I'll show you from the text, it was not an easy place. And so Titus had been given a very difficult task to be left on this island and to do the work that Paul had called him to do. So let's read this. First five verses, and I'll give you the thought process here in verse number 5. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. That's not stop. You see that? Everybody wants to talk about the things that should be done today. And I hear so many people talking about so many different types of ministries. And I'm not putting down any of those. I mean, there are things that need to be done. But I'm telling you, God hath in these times ordained that it should be through the preaching of his word that was committed to Paul and is now committed to Titus. So notice this. But hath in due times manifested his word. How does God manifest his word? Through preaching. And you know why God has done that? Is because he's given us the whole complete Bible. So therefore, a preacher today is to expound the word of God. And it is through preaching that the word of God is manifest. And then he said this, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And then he says who he's writing it to. He said he's writing this book. He gives those three verses of introduction. And then he says, Titus, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And then this is where I want to take our theme from, and you may have already seen it because we've been putting it up for the last couple of weeks, and that is these three words, for this cause. All right? So, Timothy, I'm thankful that you're my son. Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you. And then he says, Titus, For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now there's a lot in that to unpackage in those first five verses, and I'm in no way going to do it all. I'm just going to look at an overview, because just the idea that setting in order and this cause I left thee, the things that are wanting, and so we might deal with that a little bit later. But I just want to preach on this subject tonight, for this cause, as we open up the book of Titus. Lord, thank you so much for this little pastoral book that we read as the Apostle Paul has left one of his sons in the faith on the island of Crete to set in order the things that were wanting. And then, Lord, of course, he says that he leaves him there to make sure that there's elders that have been ordained that'll be in the churches there. He doesn't tell us how many were there on this island, but there was enough that there was a lot of work that needed to be done. So I pray, Lord, that we would look at these little five verses and an overview tonight and just think about this cause and the cause of Christ and what should be done in our churches today. And I pray, Lord, you know I need your help right now. I certainly need help from you to communicate the Word of God. So I pray that you'd make my mind clear and my thoughts right, and the Word of God would go forth clearly tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So again, this is a mini version of Timothy. There's not as much that is written to Titus, of course, as he does Timothy. But again, we know that he's one of those men. While I won't take time to do it, we could go back to the church at Ephesus in the book of Acts. And Paul talks about some of the men that were there in Acts, and I'm sure that you've heard my spiel about Paul was a missionary, he was an apostle, he was a church planter, he was a preacher. He didn't let the grass grow under his feet too much. He was a hard worker. You can just tell his demeanor by the time that he goes on the second missionary journey, where he says they're not going to take John Mark with them because he bailed out on them. And you know, Barnabas had a more compassionate and caring spirit and ended up taking John Mark. And of course, Paul took Silas and they went on the second missionary journey. Now, when you get to that third missionary journey, Paul had learned some things. And I think every preacher learns things year by year. And the longer that he's pastor and the longer he's in the ministry, certainly the more that he understands and the experience that he has. And so he learned something. And Paul could learn just like all of us. And he learned that he's not going to be here forever. And so he turns his attention to some men that he speaks about in the book of Acts that were there in the book of Acts, that were in the city of Ephesus on that last third missionary journey. And he talks about Timothy, and he talks about Titus, and he talks about Trophimus and Gaius and Tychius and those men. And I believe when the Bible says that all of Asia heard the word of God, I actually believe that all Asia heard the word of God. But it was because of those men that Paul was training and sending out and going to these different locations and preaching the word of God and doing what... And then you could go to Acts chapter 20 and you could understand that Paul kind of talks about the things. He said, you knew my life, you knew my ministry, you were there with me in night and day and tears and all the things. And he talks about that. Well, Titus was one of those men. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the other men, but we do know somewhat about Titus and Timothy because of these two books that were written. And so Paul has now given Titus this difficult task to go to the island of Crete. Now, the reason that we know it was a difficult place, look at verse number 12. And again, this is an overview of some of the things that we need to understand. In Titus chapter 1, in verse number 12, the Bible says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, I just want you to know, those are not endearing terms. Those are terms that we'll look at when we get there, but I think everybody could understand a liar and an evil beast and a slow belly. The idea of not only do they lie and not only do they do things that are evil, but they're also lazy. And so this is what these people are known for. This is what the island of Crete is known for. And yet Paul says, I know where I'm sending you. I know what's going on here. And then he says this. He says, but I want you to go there and I want you to set things in order. Now, how do you set things in order? How is it that you set things in order? Well, look at chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Here's a way that you set things in order. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he says that the reason that you need to preach and to teach sound doctrine, it's so that the aged men will become sober and grave and temperate, and the aged women would be in good behavior as becoming holiness, and the young women and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. All of those is Bible preaching and Bible teaching. And Paul is saying, Timothy, the only way that you're going to be able to set things in order is by preaching and teaching sound doctrine. Now that's how he is going to go there and set things in order. And so the problems that Titus faced were much like today. And I'll show you some of the problems that they had. They faced, first of all, one of the things that is greatly needed in churches across the world is, number one, qualified leaders. There must be qualified leaders. And that's what he's also talking about when he says set things in order in verse number 5 that are wanting. And then he goes on to describe it, to ordain elders in every city. Now, you just cannot ordain an elder. They have to be qualified. And sometimes this is very difficult in place. I know that many missionaries, one of the things that they struggle with is finding qualified leadership that would be able to take their place. And so that's what he was supposed to do. Now here's another thing. Now you say there was, so in other words, you need to find qualified leaders. But here's another thing that was going on in the island of Crete. Not only was the attitude of laziness and lying and by the way, we live in that same society today. Amen. People are liars. They will look you right in the face and lie through their teeth and just say things, and they believe that if they say it long enough, that maybe people believe the lies. And so that was what was known here, lying, evilness. And this, we live in a wicked society. We live in a very wicked society here. That society was wicked. Here's another thing. There was false teachers attacking the churches, and the Bible talks about how they were trying to change the grace of God into a license to sin. And we talked about that on Sunday morning out of the book of Matthew chapter number 7. When people are sometimes in sin and wickedness and doing things they shouldn't do, they like to say, judge not, because the Bible says that. That's not what that means. Amen. It means don't judge hypocritically. We looked at that. But look in chapter 2 and go down to a verse 11 again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Look at this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And then he had to say to Timothy, don't let any man despise you. I know you're young. And so we know that there was the outside forces that were coming to the church. The Judaizers and the Jews trying to hold their way. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 1. These are some of the major problems that are going on. Look at verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers especially they of what? Of the circumcision. He's talking about the Jewish Judaizers who have come in and are unruly and deceiving. Listen, that's another thing that's going on a lot today. Deception. Deceiving. And then Paul said, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. And then look at this. Why do they do it? For money. A lot of times people lie, cheat, steal, wicked, because of what? Money. They'll say anything and do anything to try to get money. And so here you have the Jews trying to add to their good works of salvation, false teachers attacking the church. There was a problem of qualified pastors. And so I would say this, Crete was not maybe an easy place to be. But I'm not sure that in the world that we live today, anywhere is easy. Amen. Were there problems? Yes. Were there difficulties? Yes. Were there heartaches? Yes. Just read. You can read Paul's writing to Timothy. Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil. Demas hath forsaken me. Love this present world. And he goes on and he goes on and he goes on. You could speak about Jesus Christ who loved Judas Iscariot and went to the cross and died for him like everybody else. But Judas Iscariot was the great deceiver and the great liar and the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul had given Titus a mandate, and the mandate was for this cause. Now, set in order, see that the churches have qualified leadership, and just keep on keeping on. So three things the world needs. Crete needed it, Springfield needs it, and the world needs it. The first thing is this, and I'm not necessarily, well, they're kind of in order, but then they all kind of tangle up together. But the first thing that I think churches need is they need this. They need servants of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice with me when Paul opens up his letter, he doesn't say Paul an apostle first. He says Paul a servant. Before he ever speaks about his authority as an apostle or as an ambassador or whatever it might be, he basically first says, I'm nothing more than a servant of God. Now, if Paul was a servant, he wanted Titus to be a servant, and God wants us to be servants. There are no big shots in God's economy. We're all on the same plane. It's level at the cross. And so when Paul begins his letter by identifying himself as a servant, yes, he also speaks of his authority as an apostle. And by the way, Paul had authority. And of course, he had to deal with the church at Corinth about that. And it's not like Titus doesn't know who Paul is. He definitely knows who Paul is. But Paul wants to make sure that Titus understands that we first need to be servants. Now, when you think about being a servant, that speaks of humility. Servanthood is always going to be about humility. A servant was a bondman. We use the word slave. And what we have to understand is slavery abounded in the Roman world. And everyone, when Paul said when he was a servant, everyone knew what that meant. Here's what it means. Here's what being a servant means. It means you belong to someone else. And whatever their desire is, that becomes your desire. Whatever the master says, the servant is to obey. I like the parable where, I didn't write it down, but when he talks about when the servant comes home after all day working in the field, and then he comes home and he has to cook the meal, and so Jesus says, well, yeah, that's what a servant does. Here, I read a quote from somewhere, I wish I'd wrote this down, but it was like this, and I want to make sure that I give the person the right who wrote it, but I can't remember. And he said this, everybody wants to be a servant, until they're treated like one. Yeah, everybody's, oh yeah, I'm a servant of the Lord. Can you go clean the bathrooms? Well, I mean, I don't. Can you, all things are subject to the power and pleasure of God. And we as blood-washed children of God, we belong to Him. And listen, we serve at His pleasure. I love going to Chick-fil-A. When you say, thank you, they go, my pleasure. They know, hey, listen, that guy knows who the customer is. The customer's the one that pays the money. I'm telling you. Everybody don't always get that. I meant to tell you to hold in your place in Psalm 119, and I didn't do it. So let's all go there together. Psalm 119, really quick. I want you to, I want to read this to you, but I want you to see it in Psalm 119. Now, everybody knows tonight that Psalm 119 is called the Word of God chapter in the Bible. It's the longest psalm. Every verse of the Bible has something, every verse in Psalm 119 has something to say about the Word of God. So I want you to go to verse number 89, and we're going to read this section, but I want you to notice what it talks about in relationship to the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now I could preach a whole sermon about that. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy" what? "Servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Now just two things. The Word of God is forever. He's faithful to every generation, and we are servants in relationship to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says this: "But now being made free from sin and become," so listen, so you get saved, you're free from sin and become servants to God. "Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We are free, listen to this, to serve God, but we are not free to serve sin. It doesn't matter your position. You could be a pastor, a missionary, a teacher, a deacon, an apostle. It doesn't matter. First, you're a servant. Before you're anything. Before you're anything, you're a servant. And we are not free to do our own thing. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Preacher, you might say, but you might say that, but I know people who do whatever they want. And I'll say to you, that person's not a servant. That person's not a servant. There is nothing that we should not be willing to do. Nothing. We should be willing to do whatever it means to serve the Lord. Most people, I shouldn't say that, much service for God is done, well, if I don't have anything else to do. Well, you know, I'm kind of busy. And I can do it as long as it doesn't require a sacrifice. Well, I'm pretty sure a servant requires sacrifice. Amen. And think about what Paul did, and think about what Paul has told Titus to do. The ministry on the island of Crete, what Paul is saying, I believe, even though he said, "Now I'm an apostle," but he's saying, "Titus, you're going to have to be a servant." Now these people are not the easiest to deal with. I mean, even one of their own prophets say this about them. And can I say this? A servant is a lifetime position. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul was a servant. Paul was an apostle. Paul was an ambassador. Paul was sent forth. He represented, being an ambassador means you represent somebody from a different country, and we are from a different country. But even though Paul was a missionary, an apostle, a pastor, a preacher, he was first a servant. And I think we all need to be reminded of that. And that's what churches need. Churches need servants. If we're going to do for this cause and set things in order, then we need to be servants. The second thing is a church needs preaching. Now in verse number 3, he makes it very clear that in the due times, right now, in these last, Hebrews says it like this, in these last days. But verse number 3, he said, now listen, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God. Now, he's like, now, Titus, what you're going to have to do when you set things in order, you're going to have to make sure that the people come together and you preach. And the word manifest, he said, but hath manifest his word through preaching. So the word manifest means to show forth or to make known. And we are to show forth the word of God. We are to manifest. We are to make known the word of God. And how do we do it? Through preaching. Preaching is like nothing else. I mean, there's nothing like it. Preaching always requires a decision to be made. So when we say, well, we need servants, then we're going to have, through the preaching that we see, that we're going to have to decide if we're going to be a servant. And we have to decide what kind of church do we want. A preaching church? Yes. That means every time we come to church, we need to be, the Word of God needs to be open and expounded upon. God's prescribed method for making His Word known to the world is preaching. The pastor's work involves many responsibilities, not just preaching. However, it is for the purpose of preaching that he is primarily called. I still like the term called to preach. Because when God called me to preach at the age of 24, I didn't know what that was going to manifest itself in. I did not know if that meant I was going to be a missionary. I did not know if that meant I was going to be a church planter. I did not know that that meant I was going to... I did not know. All I knew was that God called me to preach. And that if He ever allowed me to pastor a church, I'd preach. If He allowed me to be a missionary, I'd preach. If He allowed me to be a doorkeeper, I'd preach. Because God called him to preach. And that's what a preacher is supposed to do. I have always, well, I remember doing discipleship, we did the lesson where it's like, what does your pastor want you to call him? I like preacher. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm not opposed to Pastor Abels or Brother Abels. I am opposed to Reverend Jeff. Because that's what the world out there, that's what they want. And I'm not reverend, and I just don't think there's a lot of respect there. And I still believe there should be a respect for the office of a pastor. Doesn't matter who it is. And I'm just saying, but you want to describe me? I want to be a preacher. Preach the word, he would tell Timothy, right? Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what he would tell Timothy. Preach the word of God as it is to men as they are. That's what we are to do. We are to preach the word of God as it is to men as they are. This is God's design. This is God's design. And so people think, well, it's just, I don't like preaching. I'd rather go to a singing. Yeah. Yeah, because your flesh likes, I mean, I'm just saying, verse number 3 says, Paul is declaring to Titus what his generation needed. By the way, you know, the older generation, Paul, was looking to the younger generation, Timothy and Titus, and was saying basically to them, through what I just read, to what he said to Timothy and what he said here to Titus, he says, your generation needs preaching. Young people, let me tell you something. Your generation needs preaching. My generation needs preaching. Now, the Bible says when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said in chapter 1, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, this doesn't mean that preaching is foolishness. But it means that some will see it as foolishness. But it is the power of God and a salvation to everyone that believeth. The preacher must never lose sight of the importance of preaching. Without Bible preaching, people will not grow. Without Bible preaching, the church will stand still. And I just believe that if you just preach through the Bible, it'll get us all. It'll hit us all. It'll convict us all. It'll challenge us all. And so that's why you just got to go through. And so I'm not just preaching a pastoral book, because there's much more to this book than just to pastors, even though it is a pastoral epistle. And it should be taught. And it can be taught on how to be a pastor and the qualifications. But there's so much more than that. And the foolishness of preaching happens to be God's plan. And nothing will ever take its place. But yet, churches are going away from preaching. You understand that? There's a lot of churches have services one time a week with preaching. Now, I don't know about you, but I usually eat 3 times a day. I'm trying to cut back and not eat so much, but I still like to eat. And it's like, if we just read the Bible once on Sunday morning, that ain't going to do it. But here's what I believe. If people read their Bible, then they come to church and hear the preaching of God's Word. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's going to get us. It's going to get us. Paul would say it like this to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then I want one more thing tonight, and that is this. A church needs preaching. A church needs servants. But a church needs peoples whose lives are changed. You need to see that. You need to see people's lives changed. By the way, read the article in the Baptist Times that Dean Herring wrote. He wrote an article sitting in the Tulsa airport after he had preached to our kids at camp, because we went and he preached. And he said, I'm sitting here in my, I'm getting ready to go home. And he goes, and my greatest fear is what the kids heard this week. And I saw things in their life change. I saw them make decisions that they don't go home and it get messed up. And he talked about the preachers messing it up and the parents messing it up. Instead, our parents and our preachers and our people, they need to encourage the young people. You know what? I think our young people have made some great decisions this year. I think there's been some changes that have been made. But those changes are not just for a couple of weeks. They're to be lifetime decisions. And listen, I'm telling you right now, I think you guys are going to bring the revival to the other people because they're seeing changed lives. Now, where do you find that at, preacher? Well, look at this in verse number 1. When Paul says, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and look at this, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. I want you to think what Paul is saying. Paul is trying to give the prescription for what needs to happen in Crete. And he's going to use this term, for this cause. And when he uses that term, for this cause, he talks about setting things in order. Well, how do we set things in order? Well, sound doctrine first begins at salvation. Salvation is the first step. Salvation is by grace through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It is believing what God says and being fully persuaded in Christ alone for salvation, and therefore it is based upon the dependence on God as the absolute authority, and it's repentance from sin and belief in Jesus Christ. And then He's the one that saves. We don't. This faith is based on dependence on God. And when He is the absolute authority, listen to this, we become His servants. After salvation, we receive the acknowledging of the truth. When I acknowledge the truth, I got saved. What did that lead to? Godliness. Notice it says, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So after salvation, listen to this, comes the acknowledging of truth. And the acknowledging of truth, which is after godliness. In other words, the acceptance and practice of truth produces godliness in a person's life. What do we call that? Fruit? Change? Holiness? Listen to me. It is not enough merely to know truth. Truth must be practiced. The purpose of truth is that we might make application to the truth in our life as we're convicted and we're changed. That's what a church needs to see. I love going to a church that I'm asked to preach at and maybe go back 2 years later and I come back and I see changed people that for 2 years have been getting the Word of God, or people getting saved and they're getting a hold of the truth. They're acknowledging the truth. And so what we see here is what a church needs to be all about is God's people living out truth daily in their life, and when they do, that produces fruit. But speaking the truth, Paul would say this in Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love, all right? Why would we speak the truth in love? May grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, look at this, this is in Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Paul is just saying that preaching produces change. Preaching the Word of God produces change. We don't just simply have an acknowledgement of truth, but an acknowledgement of truth that leads to application. It's just like when you preach the Bible. You go, okay, here's what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God is. Now apply this truth into your life. Paul's life and ministry acknowledged God's truth. And could you say that when Paul got saved, he got changed? And he was on the road to Damascus killing Christians and hailing people and put them in jail. And when he got saved, I mean, by the time we get here and he's writing to Timothy, he knows he's a servant. He acknowledges also that he's an apostle. I mean, that's a change. And so the truth is, thy word is truth. And we are to observe it and to follow truth. When we observe and follow it, it's always going to lead to change. Now, that change is also referred to as godliness. And I won't go back and re-preach Brother McCracken's message, but there is godliness and there is carnality. And so you don't want to be a carnal Christian. You want to be a godly Christian. And Paul says, Timothy, when you go there and you set things in order, you're going to have to do it by sound, biblical preaching. Sound, biblical doctrine. And Timothy, when you do that, and you do it as a servant and as a preacher, when people get saved, they will acknowledge the truth. And when you look at Bible truth, it's not going to ever lead to carnality. The application to Bible truth will never lead to carnality. The application of Bible truth will always lead to godliness. So let me just wrap it up. You know what Crete needed? Same thing Springfield needs. Servants who serve, solid preaching on salvation and sound doctrine, watching people's lives change and become godly for their honor and glory? No, for the honor and glory of God. I don't like it when the Lord's church or the Lord's name is dragged through the mud. He will vindicate himself. But it's still a heartbreak situation. And so I still believe the preaching of God's word will change people for His honor and for His glory. For this cause, we preach. For this cause, our lives are changed. For this cause, we are the servants of the Lord. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Lord, as we open up the book of Titus, I pray that we would just look at this snapshot of what Paul told Titus in the beginning to set things in order. And Lord, to understand he was a servant and that the truth applied would cause change in a person's life, and that God had manifest in the time in which we live to show forth the manifest, to bring forth the truth of God's word through preaching. And while the world may think that is foolishness, we know that it is the power of God and salvation. So I pray, Lord, that we would be servants, that we would listen to sound doctrinal preaching, and that we would become servants who are godly and serving you with all of our heart and soul and mind. Lord, I pray that you would work in people's life tonight again through the preaching. In the invitation, in Christ's name we ask. Amen. 472, take my life, Lord. Go ahead, John, a couple of verses. It's a good song.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my life.
Help me to be a servant. Help that when I hear sound doctrinal preaching, that it might change my life to be godly.